That's all we have for that now, because we have Eric Idle, ladies and gentlemen, who did call in. We're so excited. Hi, Eric. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you.
I know it's early out there. Thank you for making the call.
It's practically dawn.
Yes. Would you say something to prove to everyone that you are actually Eric Idle, because no one believes me?
Really?
Yes.
What would I have to say?
I have no idea what that would be, but something that only...
Say them all now, Jay.
Yeah. It's Eric Idle, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? On a national tour now with this Monty Python thing?
Yes, I am, yes.
And where are you at the present time?
Well, I'm at home.
You're at home right now?
Yes.
Well, thank you for calling up. You know, I thought you weren't going to do it, and so I trashed all your stuff, and it's got coffee grounds on it.
Oh, my God.
But I pulled it out again, and it's...
Well, trash it again.
It's good as new.
I like trash questions.
And so the idea that... Do people know that you wrote most of those songs in Monty Python, didn't you? Did most of the...
I did a lot of the songs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Was it your ambition as a child to be a musician, or that just come along as after Monty Python?
I don't think I had many ambitions as a child except to get out of the school I was in.
Yeah, yes. And you're from the north of England?
I was from the north of England, but I was sent to school in the middle of England. Dark and bleak boarding school. It's like being in a Dickens novel.
Yeah. Is that a good training ground for a comedian?
It's a good training ground for life.
Yes.
It also prepares you for jail, I think.
Yeah. And is that where you first met some of the other Pythons?
I met the other Pythons at Oxford or Cambridge. I was very fortunate to go to Cambridge, and then life suddenly changed, and I went into comedy, and I found John Cleese. He was actually quite easy to find. He was very tall.
Yeah.
And I found Michael Palin and Terry Jones hiding in the Edinburgh Festival, performing sketches and doing silly nonsense, and... Graham Chapman was training to be a doctor, which is very fortunate that he didn't become one. We started doing writing and performing comedy.
Yeah. Do you ever wish that you, now that you had something to fall back on, a career that you would have gone through with instead of just being...
Well, I have a wife to fall back on.
No, that's good.
Yeah, you're very comfortable.
It's all right with her. It's all right with me.
I don't know what I'd possibly have done if I hadn't done stupid show business.
Yeah. Did you have a stupid...
It's just one way of postponing what you're going to do with your life.
Yeah. So you had no clues as to what a stupid career might be for you.
I think this is probably the stupidest career I could possibly have.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the one thing, in watching Monty Python for all those years, we got it a little bit later than you did, but the obscure English references always put me off. Like, there must be towns in England that always get a laugh.
Well, yes. I mean, it wasn't actually supposed to be for America. You're not supposed to enjoy this at all.
No.
You know, this isn't for you, you know.
No.
And you're still laughing at it after 30 years. I think that's about time you stopped, actually.
Yes.
I think you're right.
But there are things that we've never got and we never will get. Like, is there a town in England that you could say right now to an English audience and they would laugh at it? Just
yes. Redditch.
Redditch.
Yeah.
See, that's like our Kenosha would be here. We say...
Yeah.
So we understand.
Well, we try and change those on tour, you know. We try and cleverly sneak in topical references for cheap laughs.
Yeah. So is Redditch funny in and of itself or just the sound of it?
It's funny of itself. It's a sort of, you know, and Pearlie is a funny name, too.
Pearlie.
Yeah. It's in the Nights Night sketch. There are odd places, as you know.
Yeah.
I mean, New Jersey is funny, isn't it?
New Jersey is always good for a laugh. Beloit is good. I mean, Beloit always does something, at least around here, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Cedar Rapids, because there are no rapids. And
Cedar
Falls, because there are no falls. There are no cedars either. No, that's true.
Either.
Yeah. There's nothing there, actually. I've been there. There's nothing.
But nothing wouldn't be such a good name, would it?
No, nothing is not good.
Welcome to nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any chance of a Ruddles reunion? A lot of people are wondering about that.
I think that there's always a possibility of these things, you know, but I think the Beatles have to reunite first, don't you?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Take that 5,000 appearance Saturday Night Live, I think, first, and then you'd be...
I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was going to take 5,000 for being on Saturday Night Live as a Ruddle, but apparently it wasn't an offer.
He didn't offer it?
No.
Is it true that for the movies you guys didn't use a script? That you... I read one thing you wrote, I think, on your website that you... would not submit a script beforehand at all for the movies.
Well, in The Meaning of Life, we did that. I mean, that was for Universal, because we didn't want them to help us. Because we figured if they could, you know, we figured that a studio couldn't help us write a Monty Python film.
Mm-hmm.
We were rather arrogant in those days. So we gave them a budget and a 10-line poem. And they said yes. I mean, I was rather impressive, don't you think? But since then, they've kept all the money, so I suppose it's 50-50.
Yeah. Must have been a good home, I would think.
Yeah, it was a good call. We got to make the film, but they got to keep the money.
Yeah.
That's very much Hollywood for you.
In a nutshell.
Yeah.
Dressing as nuns.
Yes. I don't recommend it.
No. Is it tough to wear? Is it a tough habit to break?
It's not tough to wear. They're rather comfortable clothes. In fact, I was going to keep one after. You know, you usually keep your wardrobe afterwards.
Yeah.
But they're rather voluminous.
Yeah.
I tell you, the hats are kind of. If you wear those winged hats, they're very, very difficult because you can't see anybody creeping up behind you.
Yeah.
You've got no peripheral vision whatsoever.
So it's hard to drive in them.
It's very, very hard to drive. I think golfing would be almost impossible.
Yeah.
Basketball would be not really good at all. I think many activities in the nun's habit would be almost out of the question.
Yeah, I think that's probably why they designed them that way. So they would have.
Although, strangely enough, I think sex would be perfectly possible.
Yes.
Although the sort of sex I indulge in anyway. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Or maybe not, strangely enough. Really.
No, maybe not.
And but I must say, that of all the British comics who dress as nuns, I thought you were the most attractive.
Well, thank you. That's very impressive, since I know just how many British comics you've seen dressed as nuns.
Yes, almost all of them. I mean,
all in Cedar Rapids, too.
Yeah. Well, currently, but originally they were in the north of England.
Yeah.
And then the middle, as we know. But what is the British comic predilection for dressing as nuns? I mean, did someone start that years ago, or were you guys the first to start it? It seems.
I think dressing as women generally is always considered quite funny. You know, it's like it's whenever you want a cheap laugh, dress as a woman, really.
Yes.
I do it several times in my show.
Yes.
I have 17 costume changes in my stage show, and I dress as a woman, and I dress as a judge in extraordinary flamboyant costume.
Yeah. Of the 17, how many are women?
About 3.5.
Yeah.
One can't make up its mind.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
Current problem.
Is that a difference between American and British comedy? I know you're an American now, basically, but the traditionally, there are some topics we don't. Religion is sort of something we don't joke about here.
I know.
And trans.
And I've refrained, as you can see.
Yes.
Very thankfully and politely.
Yeah. And transsexuality is something is just left to Jerry Springer, basically.
I think there's a lot you don't joke about, really.
Yes.
I think that's why you have so many Canadian comics.
Because they come down here and they can joke about it.
They come down here and get work.
Yeah, okay. So did you have to adjust for American audiences?
I don't really adjust for American audiences. American audiences are wonderful audiences, and they just come to our show and they just laugh themselves silly.
Yeah.
And they come in such a good mood that it's very hard to stop them having a good time. Yeah. I do my best, but alas, no, they seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, but there is a difference there, I know that, because very few American comics dress in drag.
Well, that's not entirely true. I think you've got about 3 films this summer opening with American comics dressing in drag.
Hmm.
Big Mama or something is opening, and then there's, Robin Williams' Mrs. Doubtfire was a huge hit.
That's true.
Tootsie was a huge hit.
Okay, I'm wrong.
Some Like It Hot was an enormous hit.
An amazing hit.
So I think what you're saying is absolutely untrue.
Yes, it's... I think it's patently absurd, as I think
it's
about it.
Demonstrably wrong.
Yes, demonstrably wrong. It is. Okay, well, I guess I can't say anything more on that particular theory.
I had the coffee stains were over that question.
Yeah. It was a thesis I was developing, actually, on humor. Now, I noticed that you did this at the J. Paul Getty. This is the only album I've seen on the J. Paul Getty label.
I did it at the J. Paul Getty Museum last year. It was the origin of this show, but it's actually got bigger since then.
Yeah.
And since then, the J. Paul Getty Museum has banned me from saying anything about that performance.
Yeah, I noticed there's a disclaimer on the back saying we're not responsible for anything Eric Idle says.
Can we call it the J. Paul Betty Center, perhaps? Which was based on the oil millionaire John Paul Betty. I wrote them a song, and they've even banned that. Isn't that mean of them?
It is.
But I do it on stage.
What did they object to?
They objected, I don't know what they objected to. It's kind of probably filth.
They object to filth?
They don't want filth in an art gallery, do they?
Yeah. No.
Well, I wrote a song about how many naked people there were in their art gallery.
Yeah.
So they don't like that.
They didn't like it.
No, well, I guess the naked people here, I suppose. I don't know.
Half the people in an art gallery are naked, you know.
Totally.
Yes.
Isn't that the very basis of art?
I think so, but...
People standing around, you know...
Being naked, looking at paintings.
Positions, being naked and rather cold.
Exactly. Wonderfully put. Do you happen to have your guitar there? I'm told that if we mention the guitar to you, you might have one there and could actually sing us a song.
Oh my gosh, that's putting me on the spot rather too much.
Is it?
Yeah.
We can...
I mean, it would never play. I mean, it's very, very hard to do that.
Is it?
On the radio with holding a weak phone.
Yeah, can you hold the phone between your legs?
I might fall back on my wife. I could do a couple of verses. I can do that very, very briefly.
Yeah.
Just so I don't like saying no to you.
I know, because...
What if I put you on speakerphone? Oh. I dropped the phone. What if I put you on speakerphone?
On speakerphone is fine.
All right, I'll try that.
Okay.
Here we go.
There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yes, fine.
Can you hear?
Not now so much.
Can you hear now?
No, even less.
All right, here we go. Very best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten. Anyway, there you are. Did you hear any of that?
They love you. An award
my dog came in and looked at me. He said, what the heck are you doing? I've got on my knees playing a guitar into a speakerphone. That look that dogs have, you know?
Yeah.
How did I get here?
Do you feel like your career has taken a turn at some point? Or what? That was quite wonderful. And that won an award for best soundtrack for Crucifixion, I believe, many years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And best choreography on a cross as well.
Yeah, that was quite. It was delicate. It's hard. It's a hard thing to do under the circumstances. And much
indeed.
Like playing with a phone between your knees or whatever you're doing. And we should mention that you're going to be playing across the country now. You're in LA now, and where's the next stop for this?
We go to Denver, then Chicago, and then we're on to the Midwest.
Yeah.
And it's a very silly show. I had 12 people on stage singing and dancing and doing very silly songs and doing old Python sketches. And it's going a blast.
And you're going to be in Madison on June the 10th, I believe, here at the Civic Center.
I am, but apparently the audience isn't.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, now they will be. Now they know.
They're away, something.
Yeah. Now they know, so they'll be here.
Okay, good.
It's wonderful to talk to you, and you're a fabulous guy.
You are
the nicest of them, I think.
Well, you're very sweet.
Yes. No, you're very sweet.
I'm sorry about the coffee stains.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry.
I have to wipe off your trousers, too.
Yeah. Eric Idle sings Monty Python, ladies and gentlemen. Go back to bed, Eric.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Always looking on the bright side of life.